from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about what ended up going down last Friday and over the weekend. We left this show with reports that the Giants were aggressively pursuing Hunter Pence and that they were interested perhaps in Yasiel Puig. And so we had some resolution on both fronts. The Giants did sign Hunter Pence to a one-year deal worth $3 million and an extra $2.5 million available through incentives. So it's probably a fair deal for Pence, who did have a phenomenal 2019 season with Texas. So the resolution to the Puig situation was that there's been a report that talks between the Giants and Puig are all but dead. So, you know, I was going to have a harder time explaining the fit. I mean, I think Yasiel Puig is a talented player, but to me, the biggest question mark is kind of the fact that he has the reverse platoon splits. And so he didn't necessarily make sense as a complement to the lefties that the Giants already have in their outfield. But, you know, Hunter Pence and what he did against lefties, I wasn't really considering him for a reunion, but I do totally understand it now that this has happened. And then before we dive into Hunter Pence in too much detail, I want to also mention that later that day, it was announced that the Giants signed the speedy outfielder Billy Hamilton to a minor league deal. Hamilton has been someone the Giants have been rumored to be interested in for years. And in fact, they tried to trade for him reportedly back in the 2017 offseason when they ended up with McCutchen and Longoria. But Hamilton is a real difference maker on the bases. And this season with the 26-man roster sizes expanding, you know, from 25, I think there's a real fit for someone like Hamilton at the back end of a major league roster as someone who can impact the game on the bases. Like, let's say you're down by a run late, you're able to get your leadoff runner on base, insert Billy Hamilton. I mean, this man has 299 career steals and only has been caught 69 times. That's an 81% success rate, which is way more than enough to justify those attempts. So we talked just on Friday about how the stolen base is not a big part of the game. Somebody wanted to know who's the Giants' biggest stolen base threat. Well, you have an answer. If Billy Hamilton is on the roster, it is all Billy Hamilton all the time. This guy stole at least 50 bases in four consecutive seasons from 2014 through 17. And again, I'm going to reiterate, the steal is not necessarily a big part of the game anymore, and for good reason. But If you can be successful 81% of the time, then you actually should be trying to steal. And so, you know, like I said, this is a guy who can impact a baseball game. And if you're down a run, tied, whatever the case may be, he can impact the bases in such a way that it makes the chances of scoring that run go up significantly. So I quite like the signing of Billy Hamilton, especially to a minor league deal. The Giants have been getting really good values here late in the offseason. We still don't have an official report on Wilmer Flores and an official announcement of that signing, so I'm a little bit wondering what's going on with that. Perhaps he's, you know, out of the country or something and just needs to take his physical when he returns. That's pure speculation, but it's a little unusual that we had that report that he was signing with the Giants almost a week ago, and we still haven't heard the club make an official announcement. But anyway, with Pence and Hamilton, I am starting to like the looks of the Giants roster, and I think I'm kind of putting myself out on a limb here because everywhere I look, people are down on this team. There are a few people, some of my followers on Twitter, you guys have pointed out that you are excited about this team as well, and I'm not trying to say they're going to come out and win 94 games. That's not at all what I'm trying to say, but suddenly I think they start to look like they have a lot of depth in both the outfield and the infield and in the starting rotation. We've talked about how the rotation basically has two different starting rotations. You've got your veteran group with Gausman and Cueto and Samardzija and Smiley and Tyson Ross. That's a full rotation of just veteran guys. And then you've got your young rotation where you've got Logan Webb, Tyler Beede, Sean Anderson, Derek Rodriguez, Sean Jelly, Tyler Anderson, who's going to come back from his injury. So we're talking like 10 plus starting pitchers deep are the Giants. And then in the infield with Wilmer Flores and Brandon Belt, Buster Posey, Mauricio Dubon, Donovan Solano, Yolmer Sanchez, Brandon Crawford, Evan Longoria, Pablo Sandoval. You've got a lot of options and all of them have a case to be made that they're legitimate major leaguers. Like, we're not talking about holes anymore where you're looking at a spot on the roster and wondering like who's going to be that guy and are they going to be able to be a major league caliber player? The Giants are running like 8-9 guys deep at these positions, like infield being a position. And every single one of those guys is a major league caliber player who has some upside and or has a special skill that they can contribute if utilized properly, which I have full faith and confidence that they will be utilized properly. Like, for example, Wilmer Flores is really good against left-handed pitching, and he'll probably get most of his at-bats against left-handed pitching. And then all of a sudden, you're getting a lot of production out of those at-bats. And it means less at-bats against tough lefties for Brandon Belt, who struggled against lefties the last few seasons. So then between Belt and Flores, you're getting like 20% above average offense when each of them is in there, because Belt's producing that against righties and Flores is producing that against lefties. And so I've also seen a lot recently about how the platoons are kind of how they're like dealing with the fact that they're not very good. But it's more like platoons are the way that teams become good in today's day and age. Yes, you need some like stars sprinkled around in that mix. But if you're getting like 20% above average offensive production from every position through platoons, that is a recipe for having, you know, quality offense. And so in the outfield, that's what the Giants really addressed, because they had already kind of accomplished that in the infield. We've done episodes in the recent past about how the infield is deep, the starting rotation is deep, as I just mentioned. But now with Hamilton and Pence in the mix, I just think that kind of pushes the outfield to the brink where they've now done the same thing. They've got like 8 to 10 different guys who you could realistically make a case that they should see some playing time in the outfield. And I think between all those guys, you're going to be able to figure out who's producing and you're going to be able to get some quality production out of those guys. So coming up in the second half of the show, I want to just keep this conversation going. I want to talk about FanFest, where I thought there was a super interesting attitude among the players and coaches and Kapler and Farhan and Larry Bear. I just think the attitude has changed a little bit, and I really want to talk about that next. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75 degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in Greater Phoenix within 50 miles. Check out amazing restaurants and bars nearby. Hit the road and explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, and quirky outposts. Hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, or just taking a sunset. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. Bringing the kids along to spring training? Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages, from water parks to horseback rides to games and activities. Plan your spring training getaway now at visitarizona.com/springtraining. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Giants is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Giants fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Giants fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. All right, as promised here in the second half of the show, I want to talk about the Hunter Pence signing and discuss what he brings to the table. And I also want to discuss the attitude and the mindset at FanFest and then kind of take a step back and give what I think is a different opinion about this team from what you're seeing in the mainstream analysis of the San Francisco Giants. So the first thing I want to say is the mindset at FanFest, and perhaps Hunter Pence had something to do with this, and so we'll actually tie these two together. You know, Pence is not someone that I was mentioning earlier in the offseason as a possible fit. I thought the page had been turned and that it wouldn't have made sense, but this is why they're the ones in that front office making these decisions, because they are extremely talented people who know what they're doing, frankly. And Hunter Pence, I see it, is a perfect fit for this Giants team because, you know, he really, really struggled with the Giants at the end of that contract, which is a 5-year, $90 million contract, by the way. Really, really struggled the last couple of years with the Giants. He said himself, got a dose of humble pie by staying complacent, staying the same, and trying to keep up with the game. He said it himself at FanFest. The game has changed a lot, and if you stay the same, you're falling behind. And so he took it upon himself to make some changes, swing changes, which the Giants were not providing in their dugout, but are now. But this is exactly, like, people are skeptical about the new coaching staff, but Pence is telling you, he's trying to tell you, you need this stuff in the new game. The game is not the same as it was 10 years ago, not the same as it was 5 years ago. If you're not doing this, your opponents are, and then they're beating you, and that's what happened to the Giants. So Pence took it upon himself to get some outside instruction to change his swing from the same guy who helped Justin Turner, I believe. And Pence went to the Dominican Republic and played in the winter, did really well, got a minor league deal with Texas, did really well in spring, went and played for the Rangers, and did extremely well for the Rangers. And this is not a simple matter of, like, it's a better place to hit, and that's why he did well. Pence hit 226 with a 258 on base and 332 slugging in his last season with the Giants. That was 40% below average by weighted runs created plus. Last year with the Rangers, he hit 297 with a 358 on base and 552 slugging, which was 30% above average by weighted runs created plus. So night and day difference, and the StatCast data, basically the quality of contact, completely supports. Okay, not completely. He overperformed a little bit, but still, he earned the production. And in 2018 with the Giants, he earned the negative, like the awful production. He was not hitting the ball well. We all saw that. But particularly against left-handed pitching, Pence was one of the top performers in the league last season. And normally we don't look at one season samples and then look and cut it in half and look at platoon splits. But in Pence's case, we kind of have to because he made a tangible change to his swing. And, you know, it's not the most reliable data because it is a small sample, but he crushed left-handed pitching with this new swing. Not only is he a threat to platoon in left field with Alex Dickerson, I should be clear, I think that's kind of the role. And Dickerson needs, like, the time off to make sure he stays healthy, so I do understand the idea of platooning him. He has done a lot better against righties in a small sample of his career as well. And it gives them the added benefit of letting Dickerson rest frequently. And then to be a threat off the bench against left-handed pitching. So it's a great baseball fit there. On top of that, where it really pushes the Giants over the top and why he's such a great fit is the mentality. He's beloved by the fans. He's a tremendous influence in the clubhouse. And he, like, personifies what they're trying to do here as being a veteran player who took it upon himself to improve and was not content with the status quo of his career and his decline. And then, you know, between Pence and everybody else I saw at FanFest, the attitude looks good to me. Like, these guys, people are, like, writing them off like they're some awful team, but I really truly believe that they are open-minded and they are excited about the changes that have happened with the Giants. Like, they were feeling the same complacency and almost boredom with the way things were the same year in and year out, and it wasn't working. That's got to be frustrating for them too, and seeing their careers go downhill coupled with constant losing. I mean, that's not fun for them either. So this new coaching staff and front office and new players who are providing some upside, like, you know, Yastrzemski, Dickerson, it has them invigorated. And we heard Longoria and Crawford, they've been in Scottsdale working with the hitting coaches, and Crawford has been making some adjustments already. And he said it's been really valuable and he's super excited to be doing this. And Longoria kind of said the same thing. But these are good things, and the Giants are excited about it. And the fans and even a lot of the media are like skeptical and talking about how it's, you know, potentially going to be a disaster. But the players themselves are excited and ready to get to work, and they want to be good and they want to win. So they are motivated by this. And I see it. I honestly see, kind of going out on a limb here, I'm going to say that the Giants are going to be a fun and entertaining team in 2020 that is going to surprise some people with how well they play. I think that they have the potential to go on some runs like the Giants did last year. They're in a better position than last year to go on some runs and you know, like they did in July, not promising they're going to go 19-6 in any given 25-game sample. But I just think they have the pieces to mix and match and to have a team full of guys who can contribute at what they do. Like Pence is going to be contributing against left-handed pitching. Dickerson is going to be contributing against right-handed pitching. Yastrzemski is going to do what he does. Jalen Davis has the upside that he has. Mauricio Dubon is going to bounce around and potentially play some center, which would move other guys out of the outfield mix if they're not performing. You're going to have potentially Billy Hamilton making an impact on the bases. You're going to have your platoons like Wilmer Flores and Brandon Belt. So you're not going to overexpose either of those guys in tough matchups. You're going to have a legitimate backup to Brandon Crawford and Dubon. And then at second base, you're going to have Solano and Sanchez and Flores, like guys who can fill in if Dubon needs to play short because Crawford's not producing. You're going to have Sandoval platooning maybe even with Evan Longoria, which was quite effective last year when they were doing that. And then you're going to have prospects arrive at the major league level. You're going to have Joey Bart potentially make his debut. You're going to see Sean Jelly. You're going to see continued development from Logan Webb and Tyler Beede. You're going to see some guys continue to pitch out of the bullpen who are very intriguing, like Tyler Rogers. I just think they are a lot better than people think, and I think they're actually a lot closer to being exciting and fun than people think. And I can just see this team actually being quite compelling as early as this upcoming season. So pitchers and catchers report tomorrow, and I'm ready to go here, as you can tell. One piece of news we have to say before closing, that Aramis Garcia, the possible backup to Posey to start the year before Bart arrives, he's injured his right hip. He's going to have labrum surgery in his right hip and miss 6 to 8 months. So very bad news for him. He was in position to possibly be the backup catcher. But now, I had been saying that I thought Heinemann was maybe the favorite heading into spring as a switch hitting catcher they just acquired this offseason. So now I'm going to definitely say I think Heinemann has the inside track to be the backup catcher entering the 2020 season, but we shall see. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. We'll just continue to talk about this tomorrow as pitchers and catchers probably start filtering into Scottsdale as early as today. So remember, to get the show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspick. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.